Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation, an application to our daily faith life, is found recorded in the Old Testament book of Isaiah, chapter 61, verses 1 through 3. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garments of praise to the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. So far, sermon text. You may be seated. In Christ Jesus, who is the heart of the good news of salvation, and therefore is the heart of the good news of Christmas, dear fellow redeemed. Christmas gift exchanges are pretty popular this time of year. In our Friday note, it's mentioned that the school children, too, are deciding on a gift exchange. So, let's suppose that, Caleb, you drew Peter's name. So you went with your mom to buy a gift for $5 or $10, wrapped it up, and gave it to Peter. But in turn, James had drawn your name, and he gave you a gift, same size, same shape, but when you opened it up, you found the most expensive jewel in the world, worth millions of dollars, and you give a $5 or $10 gift. What an exchange. Well, in our sermon text this morning, Isaiah talks of a Christmas gift exchange that tops even that. From our scripture reading in Luke this morning, we find that our text from Isaiah 63 was spoken by the Messiah. Because when Jesus read these words in Nazareth on that synagogue that day, he said, these words apply to me. And so he's saying, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me. We've been mentioning this in our Wednesday night midweek Advent services. The Hebrew word for anoint indicates the method of inducting people into the office of priest and king. They were anointed with oil poured over their head, and also then the Holy Spirit came upon them. Well, Jesus at his baptism was anointed not by oil but by the Holy Spirit. He came upon him to induct him into his office as Savior, prophet, priest, and king. That's why he's called Christ. Some people think that's Jesus' middle name, Jesus Christ. No, that's a title. It's Jesus the Christ. He's the anointed one, the chosen one, the Messiah. Well, the rest of these verses, verses 1 through 3, the Messiah is using the language of the year of Jubilee. We read again, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. We mentioned this in the 50th anniversary of our synod. The year of Jubilee was every 50 years. It was when God would kind of reestablish the societal makings of Israel. If you were sold as a slave and you were an Israelite, you'd be set free. If you'd been thrown in jail because you couldn't pay your bills, you'd be released. If you had declared bankruptcy and lost your home and your land, it'd all be restored to you. And that's why in these verses we hear words like poor, brokenhearted, captives, prisoners. That was the acceptable year. It literally means the year of the Lord's favor. But in Isaiah 61, the Lord's not just talking about that one time happening every 50 years. He's talking about His grace. His grace upon all of mankind through Jesus Christ. Reading these words, we see that this is what is applied to all of us in the New Testament era. the grace, undeserved love of our Savior from His Father to us. And what gifts we receive. Looking at this list, we see that we have the greatest gift exchange ever. Martin Luther commented on this section of Scripture, and he said, "Lord Jesus, I am your sin. And you, Lord Jesus, are my righteousness. I have made you what you were not, and you have made me what I was not." And that's our first point for this morning's theme. Lord, you have made us what we were not. Four gifts are mentioned here. Good tidings are preached to the poor. Here again, the Lord's not talking about physically poor people, those who don't have money or goods. He's talking about the spiritually impoverished, those who have no goodness, no righteousness to stand before the Lord. In other words, he's talking about you and me. We're spiritual paupers before God. By nature, we're spiritually poor. We owe a debt to God that we could never pay. Ever, ever, ever. No matter how many years we'd live, no matter how much good we try to do, we could never pay this debt we owe to God. In fact, even eternal damnation doesn't suffice the payment of the debt. But Christ came, and He fulfilled it for us. He paid the debt by giving us His riches, His righteousness. So we who are poor in sin have been made rich in Christ. We're told by Paul, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, so that you, through His poverty, might become rich." Good news, poor people. Good news, sinners. Your sins are paid in full. We're spiritually rich in Christ Jesus. Second gift, the brokenhearted are healed. Literally, that word means the shattered of heart. It's not talking about being shot in the heart in war or being brokenhearted because your loved one dumped you. This is talking about a heart that is filled with sorrow and remorse, contrition and repentance. A heart that has been crushed by God's law, showing us our sins, our inability to keep God's law. In fact, the shattered, broken heart comes the balm of healing, the good news of Jesus. We have peace, full forgiveness alone through Jesus Christ. So the second gift, our broken heart has been repaired through Jesus Christ. Third gift, liberty is proclaimed to the captives, and the prison has been opened to those who are bound. Every one of us by nature lay fast bound in sins. We're captives to Satan. By nature, not only was death our future, but eternal damnation in hell was our deserved eternal future. What did Martin Luther say in that famous hymn of his? "Dear Christians, one and all rejoice. Fast bound in Satan's chains I lay. Death brooded darkly o'er me. Sin was my torment night and day. In sin my mother bore me. Yea, deep and deeper still I fell. Life had become a living hell, so firmly sin possessed me." And Jesus says the same thing in John 8. He said, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin." When we're honest with ourselves, we realize that no matter how hard we say, "I'm not going to do that again. I'm not going to say that again," we're slaves of sin. The temptation comes, we fall again and again and again. We're enslaved to our sinful flesh. But the good news is, the gift exchange here is, Messiah has come to declare we're free. We're set at liberty. We've been freed from the enslavery of sin, set free from the bondage of Satan, delivered from death, and through His resurrection from the grave, given the assurance of an everlasting life in heaven. A resurrection to live forever, perfect in eternity. The fourth gift, quite a few things here. To console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. In this we see some even greater gift exchanges. The Lord says, comfort and consolation for mourning, sorrowing. Beauty for ashes. Literally, a crown or a turban, a white turban of joy and happiness for exchanging a crown of ashes, symbolizing sin and sorrow and grieving. The oil of joy, a sweet-smelling aroma that they put on themselves when they are going to celebrate for tears and sorrow. And finally, the garment of praise for the spirit of despair and heaviness of heart. All these gifts, the Lord says, will result in us being planted like trees of righteousness. And we're characterized by bringing forth fruits of righteousness by faith. Notice that Isaiah says all of this planting in us is not done by us. It's the Spirit. The Spirit calls us who were imprisoned in sin. The Spirit calls us who were enslaved in sin. The Spirit calls us who were dead in sin and brings us to faith in Christ Jesus. Implants in us the good news of salvation and forgiveness. And through that word, we're implanted then like trees of righteousness. And it's all done to glorify God. The Lord says that all is done to the praise and glory of my name. What a tremendous Christmas gift exchange. The Lord has made us what we were not. But then there's the other half of it. The Lord has also made our Savior Jesus what he was not. In the exchanging of life for death, joy for sadness, freedom for captivity, and comfort and joy for mourning and tears, Jesus had to make the exchange too. He exchanged himself for all of us. You mentioned earlier how you'd feel if you gave a gift pretty inexpensive to someone, and they gave you a gift that was just tremendously expensive. Well, that's exactly what the Lord did. We could only receive that gift if Christ did the exchange himself. And this gift exchange cannot be bought, cannot be purchased, cannot be earned, cannot be traded for, cannot be won. It can only be received by Christ exchanging himself for us. And so we see that we were set free while Jesus was captured and bound. Our repentant hearts were crushed and healed with forgiveness while Jesus' heart was broken. We received a crown of beauty and joy and everlasting life, while he received a crown of pierced thorns. And we also received the robe of Christ's righteousness, a white robe of righteousness covering our sins, while Jesus was dressed in a purple robe of mockery, ridicule, and hatred. Paul summarizes all that Jesus had to go through in his second letter to the Corinthians, where he wrote, "For God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." The great exchange. God took my sins and your sins and the sins of all people and laid them on Jesus and took his righteousness and gave them to us through faith. And then Paul writes in Galatians 3, "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree." It's almost become a universal custom at Christmas time for everybody to show their love for each other by exchanging gifts. Even unbelievers do it. Even those of different religions do it. You see them all, people are buying gifts like crazy. Many of them don't know what Christmas is all about. That it's God's great gift to us as a Savior, the gift of Jesus, the Christ, who's the center and core and heart of this celebration, the great gift exchange of Jesus for all of us and all of mankind. It's a bumper sticker that says, "Put Christ back into Christmas." That slowly reminds us how easy it is to get distracted in our busy lives too, with the externals of Christmas, the decorating, the busyness, the parties, cards, activities, and forget about the heart. But the slogan really has gone too far. Christ is in Christmas. He's never left Christmas. The problem is many don't see it. They don't see that Jesus Christ is Christmas. Without Christ, there would be no Christmas, just exchanging gifts. Christ is the heart and core of God's great gift exchange to every single one of us. That's why we need to prepare our hearts through repentance, the exchange of taking my sins and God giving to us Christ's righteousness. And we prepare ourselves for Jesus in our worship, in our devotions, in our daily life, by focusing upon Jesus, not only during this season, but always. So as we exchange gifts this Christmas, as you're handing the gifts out to your children, or your children giving gifts to your brothers, sisters, your parents, remember how God exchanged gifts with us. His only Son, born in human flesh and blood, like a little baby. But the greatest gift exchange was, we have been made what we were not. Dead, now alive. Lost, now saved. Sinful, now righteous. Prisoners and captive, now set free. Filled with sadness, now filled with joy. Spiritually poor, now unbelievably spiritually rich. And Jesus had been made what he was not. Perfect, now filled with all of our sins. God, having become man for us. Ever living, having to suffer and die. Isaiah calls us trees of righteousness. That word for tree there literally means mighty or powerful. It's a description of the large, sturdy, mighty, long-living, evergreen tree. And that's what we weaklings by nature are when we're founded in Christ Jesus. Strong and sturdy and ever-living. May we ever continue to feed on that Word of God that keeps us alive and keeps us growing in Christ Jesus during this Advent season and throughout our lives. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our coming Savior. Amen.